Good morning, everyone. My name's Henry. I'm 50% of East London Kinetics. We are a studio based in Hackney who does physical digital design stuff. So where you want something physical that does interactive, exciting things, that's the kind of stuff that we make. But I'm here today to talk about this, which was a massive talking throne we built for a Christmas event at Kensington Palace. I'm going to talk a lot more about how we actually made this in a couple of minutes, but first of all, I want to talk about how we got onto making it in the first place. And it starts with a project that we did in 2012. This is Madame Botwright's bureau, which was part of a design event called Designer's Block. The overall sort of concept for the event was it was set in an East End pub, which had this kind of shady past. And upstairs in this pub was the madam's office, which because she was running this brothel on the side of running a pub. So we built her bureau. Her bureau has a bunch of hidden things in it. So the idea is that you're constructing the story of what happened in this brothel by unlocking drawers and finding letters and bits of ledger and postcards and stuff. But the idea is that each of these drawers was locked with a sort of action. So one of the drawers, for instance, was locked with a rhythm. So you had to knock out a rhythm on the drawer in order to open it. Another of the drawers was locked with that clock up there, which you'd have to sort of use as a combination lock to unlock one of the drawers. So it was this kind of big interactive, but not this small in size, but big in ambition, interactive piece. As a result of that, we ended up talking to these people who, I guess a few people in this room are probably familiar with Hide and Seek. God rest their soul. They make games and play and big sort of games-based events. And they got in touch with us because they were running a Christmas event at Kensington Palace where they were going to install a bunch of games in rooms around the palace based on a season of Christmas games that King William III put on in 1699. So the idea is that as a visitor to the palace, you play your way through a bunch of these games, but they needed like an end piece for it. They needed a payoff that you got after playing all of these physical games. So we went to them to talk about trying to build some sort of interactive set piece that you would get as a reward after playing all of your games. So we talked about the original set of games of 1699. We talked about this kind of idea of king or queen for a day, which was something that King William introduced during those games. We also talked about the fact that this thing needed to be magical and theatrical and Christmassy and have this kind of sense of reward. So we eventually, after a few conversations, ended up with this concept. The idea is that this would be a throne. It would be sat there in a sort of throne room near the end of the game. And you would get to construct a title for yourself. You invent your own courtly title and go and sit in this throne, at which point you play a massive fanfare out of all of these big elaborate trumpets and announce you to the room. Now, the thing to notice here is like this little word board that our happy kid is holding. Hide and Seek were very keen that people would be able to introduce their own title, to invent their own title, and for the throne to sort of boom it out like the Harry Potter sorting hat, but better. So our first challenge was to figure out how to make this board in such a way that whatever system was doing the announcements would be able to sort of read off the words that were on there that the sitter had chosen. So we thought about a few things to do that. We thought about using a camera and doing computer vision, OCR and stuff, but we kind of discounted that pretty quickly because that's always a bit flaky. You don't really want to rely on that stuff, especially if someone's waving their board around like this. We also thought about having some sort of clever stuff in that board. So, you know, chips or something on the words and then some kind of detection thing in the board that would transmit wirelessly. But we discounted that pretty quickly as well because this thing's going to be in the hands of like a bunch of people every day. It's going to be getting dropped on the floor. It's going to be getting thrown around. You know, you can't trust kids. So we decided that whatever we did, it would have to be very robust and very dumb. You know, the clever bits would have to be hidden away somewhere. We couldn't have electronics as part of it or anything that was fragile because it would just get broken. So we had to go away and figure out how to do this. And it turns out that the best way to do it is this, which is RFID, which is probably something that a lot of you will be familiar with. But this is Gen 2 RFID, which is like a new RFID standard. RFID, for those who don't, well, RFID is a thing that powers things like contactless payments or Oyster cards, where you can sort of wave something near a reader and you'll be able to read what's there. This is a study done by Berg, the second mentioned today, a couple of years ago. This is normal RFID. They did a test where they had a little LED that lit up whenever it got in reading range of that reader. And you can sort of see that it's a very beautiful study, but you can also see that it only really reads over a range of a couple of centimeters. This is Gen 1, normal RFID. But it turns out that Gen 2 allows you to read over a much greater distance, like meters as opposed to centimeters. And it also lets you read multiple tags at once, so we're able to read the whole contents of the board in one go, which is great. The last thing we wanted to do was have this kind of, some sort of really clunky setup where if people were walking on their way up to the throne, they'd have to sort of wave their board near a reader. That would have sucked. What we wanted to do was we wanted to build this thing so people would just do what they would normally do in this kind of thing. They just construct their board, go and walk up to the throne and sit on it. We didn't want to impose anything unnatural on that process just for the sake of having the technology work. So once we figured out that Gen 2 RFID was what we needed, we were able to get relatively quickly to a prototype. This is the first working version of the system. Is there going to be some sound of this?
It should be on.
Okay. So that was me waving a few tags in the field of the camera and constructing the board. This little office chair here is standing in for the throne. So this is our first tech prototype. I'm dressed exactly the same.
Part 5.
Presenting the Conning Marquee of Time and Space.
This was great, right? Like, we built this prototype, we got there quickly, and we figured out that it works, and it's a really nice experience. There's a couple of things that you'll have noticed about that. It wasn't just the reader, there was some sound design happening in there as well, and there was some physical stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about the sound design. Because we didn't really have any visual part of this installation, the sound was really what carried it, so we had to give sort of careful thought to the sound design. We spent a good day or so in the studio with an actor recording all of these words in such a way that when we stuck them together, like the announcement system in a train station, they would kind of flow naturally and have this kind of drama to them. So there was a bit of direction to happen there. Then I went away and chopped up a bunch of audio and built a system to stick these together for the voiceovers. Who would like to hear a little demo of the voiceover system? Of course you do. Right. Who would like a courtly title? Anyone?
Presenting the terrible Viscountess of Time and Space. Presenting the unbelievable Duke of the West.
And another nice thing about this is we made some of the fanfares sensitive to some of the words. So if I tell it to do an evil fanfare.
Presenting the fearsome Viscountess of England.
You can imagine when you actually constructed this title for yourself and going up and sit on the throne. The hamminess really worked. It was great. So once we got the tech working, while that was going on, while I was sort of fiddling with RFID readers and Raspberry Pis and stuff, Tim was doing the the design of the actual installation. Tim's the other half of East London Kinetics. He can't be here because he's in the warehouse doing things with plastic hands. So this is kind of the evolution of the physical design that we were mocking up in 3D as we went along. You can sort of see that first one is very similar to that initial sketch. At that point, we thought we were going to use a chair from the palace. But as it went on, we ended up buying a throne off eBay, because obviously that's where you get your second-hand throne. And you can sort of see how things like the shape of the trumpets has evolved. This box under here is where we're going to have the like hidden magic. But we quickly realized that's quite obvious. But if you put it on a plinth, that gives you somewhere to hide all the business whilst making it sort of have sense into itself. You know, it's not like you've got this bit that doesn't make sense there. It makes sense you'd have a throne on a plinth. And that also handily gives us somewhere to hide all of the gubbins. So once we'd done that design, we made some shop drawings, which we then sent off to a bunch of local metalworkers. I love this picture. Look at that, Matt. Look at that hand. Look at that workmanship. It's great. The thing about building stuff of this scale is that you can't do it by yourself. You have to get the right external people to do stuff for you. And the nice thing about doing this project was that we were able to use sort of craftspeople based in London who had been doing this kind of thing for years and years and years, who were really good at what they did. And we were able to kind of use their skills to make this installation. The guy who did the kind of metalwork for the bars normally makes elaborate fences for rich people. The people who did the horns on the end, they've kind of been doing metal spinning for years. They used to make musical instruments, and they now make sort of machine tools and stuff. So that part of the project was really nice. You know, we got to work with people who properly knew their craft, who were making things since well before there's an internet of them. So it was nice to sort of connect those skills up to more like a more modern sort of digital thing. When you put the effort into finding the right people and working with them, you get craftsmanship like this, which is great. I mean, when we first got this stuff back to the studio and assembled it all, we couldn't believe how nicely it turned out. It was fantastic. But not everything was built externally. This is Tim doing a bunch of woodwork, building the plinth. Apart from the metalwork, we constructed everything in-house, which includes the electronics. This is when we were prototyping the control board for it. All of those horns had a fan in the end with the streamer sticking out. So as the fanfare sounded, you get these streamers flapping in the air. This is the control board for that. You can see in the back there a Raspberry Pi. This whole installation was running off a Raspberry Pi, which I thought was brilliant. You know, got this massive throne and this tiny little circuit board running the whole thing. I could go on and on about how great Raspberry Pi is, but I won't. Not now. So after we finished construction, the time came to build it. That photo's a bit dark, but this shows us putting the thing together at Kensington Palace. Installing stuff in a public place is always a bit fraught, especially if it's one that's open to the public 364 days of the year, as Kensington Palace is. We had to install it overnight, the night before the morning it opened, which was fun. very little margin for error there. But luckily, you know, it went well. The thing about installing stuff in... the other thing about installing stuff in a public place, especially a royal listed palace, is that there's a lot of stuff that you have to be careful with. There's a lot of health and safety. There are a bunch of... That night that we installed this, and, well, the rest of Hide and Seek's games are going in, there were a bunch of conservators there whose job it was essentially to hover around watching us to make sure we didn't break anything valuable, which, you know, is a constraint you could probably work without. Also, I had to do some soldering at some point, which I had no idea that soldering in like a public listed building was a thing. There was a lady who had to stop everything she was doing, get two fire extinguishers, get everything flammable from a certain radius around me while I was working, and then watch like a hawk as I worked to make sure I didn't set fire to anything. I didn't set fire to anything. But yeah, the amount of constraints that are on you is a thing to work with. But it's, you know, it's worth it in the end. It's rewarding. You get to make these things which are used by thousands of people every day. This was installed for a month. If installing it the night before is a little bit fraught, then the morning that two coach loads of kids descend on the thing that you've only just finished setting up is even more fraught. You can design things in the studio for as like wide a range of people as possible, you know. And we did. We kind of tested over and over again. We tested all sorts of ways of approaching a throne, waving the board this way and that. But you never really know if it's going to work with the public until you put the public on it. When that public is thousands of people in one morning, you're just watching the thing on tenterhooks. But it worked. Our testing paid off. It was a really, really lovely thing to see these kind of people going through and sitting on the throne and getting their turn, and just the smiles on their faces was, yeah, it was kind of amazing and what it's all about, really. I'm going to leave it there. I've got some video of the thing actually running, but I can show you. I can show you that later. This is us. If you ever need a massive throne building, give us a shout. I'll be around all day if you want to ask me anything else about the project later. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Henry. Thank you very much.